The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The triple-digit heat in North Texas is being blamed for a death in Dallas. KRLD's Stephen Pickering has more.
Dallas County officials say the death of a 79-year-old woman in Dallas is the first heat-related death this year.
It has been really hot again, as we've all experienced, and so tragically, we do have this first death this season.
Dallas County Health Director Dr. Philip Wong says the elderly, along with people who are very young and people with some health conditions, can be at a higher risk for heat-related illnesses or death. Some cities and the Salvation Army have been operating cooling stations for people who need a place to get out of the heat. From the 24-Hour News Center, Stephen Pickering, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Meanwhile, a bit of a mystery situation out of Corsicana, and we're learning a school employee was airlifted to the hospital late yesterday afternoon after what the school is calling a disruption in a classroom. This was at Collins Intermediate, a school serving 5th and 6th graders. Their principal shared the news on Facebook and said no other students or staff were ever in danger. The employee has not been identified. Their condition and the nature of the injury are also unknown at this point.
An update to a story we brought you this week. Police say there was no threat intended against kids outside of several North Texas schools. We told you about two possible child abduction attempts, one near Hillcrest and Campbell in North Dallas, and another outside J.J. Pierce High School in Richardson. In Dallas, a group of kids said they were approached by a young Hispanic man and that the man even briefly chased the kids for a short distance. Police now say they do not believe that person was a threat. The incident in Richardson ISD has also been cleared up. Police say there was a driver who seemed to be following a student, was actually just dropping something off at Pierce High School.
Well, the largest church in North Texas is in the headlines again. Gateway Church has been named in a lawsuit this time. The case is the alleged sexual assaults of a 13-year-old girl by another youth group attendee, while that other attendee was 17 and 18 at the time. The accused offender's name, Gabriel Snyder, and again, the alleged victim was 13. Snyder indicted in 2017 on charges of indecency with a child and sexual assault and is currently serving a 4-year sentence. The lawsuit is filed by the victim and her parents, and it's against Gateway Church, accusing it of negligence, claiming the assaults took place outside of a church campus in Southlake from December 2016 to December 2017.
And as we've been mentioning, we are facing dangerous heat this week and into next week. Practice is underway for North Texas football and marching bands meantime, but this year, new standards on dealing with heat are in place. For South Oak Cliff High School in Dallas ISD, it was easy. They say they've been doing lots of these things on their own.
Head coach Jason Todd says the team is eager to get to work, but their priorities are clear.
The water pool that they have out there is one thing. I also have wet towels, constant water breaks, you know, just a multitude of things where well, for us, you know, the kids always come first.
This month, the UIL released new heat safety guidelines for athletics and marching bands. Protocols and procedures address outdoor practice, ratio of workouts and rest time, and emergency action plans to prevent heat-related illness. Varsity quarterback Carter Kopecky says players take the rules just as seriously, starting with water.
Every day I know I'm drinking about a gallon and a half. We work out in the weight room every day, build up muscle so that we can keep our bodies healthy. We go up there and we get in the cafeteria before every practice, get some food in us. We stay hydrated. We weigh in, we weigh out, see what our hydration's like.
The health and safety habits practiced now could very well be the start of what propels them into another trip to the state championship game.
That's NBC5's Candace Sweat reporting.
Let's talk about the presidential campaign. We're joined by Margaret Brennan from CBS's Face the Nation. Margaret, we always appreciate the time. And the question would be, who's making the most headway with voters right now? Are any minds being changed? Where do we stand there?
We'll have the latest CBS polling to answer that question for you Sunday morning. Actually, my colleague Anthony Salvanto is in the field right now trying to get answers to those questions. We've seen the deficit Joe Biden had against Donald Trump really close now that you have Vice President Harris at the top of the Democratic ticket. It's been neck and neck, including in battleground states that will be decisive in the outcome of this election. We will see where we are by this Sunday, particularly as both camps unveil their economic agenda. Yesterday, Donald Trump did it in kind of a extended, somewhat rambling press conference outside his New Jersey residence. And then you have Vice President Kamala Harris unveiling a series of what appear on their face to be some pretty populist programs, you know, upping the child care tax credit to $6,000 per child versus what J.D. Vance told me last Sunday on Face the Nation would be a $5,000 per child tax credit the Republicans wanted to offer. She's talking about going after price gouging and price caps and groceries. We'll talk through and try to level set for our viewers on Sunday what is actually doable here and what is just sloganeering.
Yeah, it sounds like an auction right now. 5,000. Right? Do I hear 6,000? Right? And, you know, in addition to that, you mentioned former President Trump's news conference yesterday. He's definitely trying to paint some of the cuts we heard paint, you know, what is going on with the country as Kamala Harris's fault right now. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, on the Harris side of things, will they try to separate from what the Biden administration has done and create their own narrative? Or what do you think is going to happen there?
Right. It's a good question, because right now, in the past month or so since we've seen this shakeup, Vice President Kamala Harris has seen the benefit of just staying the course. The excitement over having a younger person at the top of the ticket, having a woman of color at the top of the ticket, does defining herself as separate from Joe Biden hurt that momentum or help? Is it persuasive or not? These are the kind of, you know, political calculus questions that her advisors are trying to navigate. But it's a fair question to say, you know, if there was lack of enthusiasm over Joe Biden, should there be enthusiasm over Kamala Harris if it's more of the same? What will be different other than, gender and age? And so that's something that we'll see at the DNC this coming week, an attempt to define. But really, this race for Democrats throughout has been about defining whoever that candidate is at the top of their ticket in opposition to Donald Trump, and really making the race about him rather than them. We'll see in the coming days some of the things that progressive Democrats would like the vice president to define herself on, including perhaps a position on the war in Gaza, where 40,000 people, most of them women and children, have died over the past 10 months. We'll see that as a flashpoint. There are protests planned starting on Monday outside the convention, and they could be a distraction. She may, however, just say, look, I am part of the Biden administration that's furiously trying to get to a ceasefire deal right now on the ground in the Middle East.
That is Margaret Brennan from CBS's Face the Nation. She's got a busy show coming up on Sunday morning on CBS.
Not many people who work in fast food turn it into a career, but Connie Claxton of Forney is the exception. She retired yesterday from...
What a burger!
Just like you like it.
Well, she really did like it because she worked there a very long time, 54 years, and she spoke with KRLD's Mike Rogers.
At the time, I lived real close to that, and it was a Friday night. I remember it very well. I had my husband and two small boys. We ate there one Friday night, and I thought, well, this is the best burger I've ever ate. So I thought, well, I could do this, and my husband kept the two children, and I would work two evenings a week, and I would work Saturday, and I did better doing that than when I had a full-time job downtown Dallas.
What were some of your first jobs there?
Well, I think I probably took orders. At the time, we would stand there and take orders, and Mr. Hyman was the grill man, and he would listen, and he would be cooking. We didn't, at that time, write anything down, but we had a list of how much each item, like the Whataburgers, I recall, possibly were 50 cents, 75. I don't remember that.
You didn't stay at that one in Mesquite. Obviously, you haven't been been there the whole 54 years, right?
In my years, I've been at 10 different locations. And during that time, I was single. And one of my customers came in. And to make a long story short, I ended up getting married.
I tell you what, you got Whataburger in your blood when you marry a customer.
Yes, it's I had 30 wonderful years with him. It was the best blessing, I guess, I've ever had with Whataburger.
What's your go-to order when you eat at Whataburger?
I always eat the small junior burger, and I have it on a brioche bun, and the little girl, most of the ones that work the grill, they all know how I like it.
That's Connie Claxton, now retired after 54 years at Whataburger, and apparently she says she's never had any of their fries.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.